Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 373. Yes, it is a palindrome. I don't know. Is that just for words, Jeremy Mays, or is that for numbers also?
I don't even know what that is.
A palindrome is a word that can be spelled forwards and backwards with the same letters, or in the same order and with the same letters. So, like, Taco Cat is Taco Cat backwards?
Okay. Alright. Yep. I told you I was slow going.
And I have also confounded our other co-host at the current moment. And hopefully he does not go back to his Max Headroom slash Mr. Robot ways. Chris Kalamita. Chris, how are you doing, sir?
Guys can't be that lucky this week. I've got a lot to say, and we got quite a bit to talk about.
All right, we haven't talked about wrestling yet, though. So we're still batting a thousand. That was one of the funnest times I've had doing one of these shows was last week. So
I'm glad you had fun.
Just seeing you put your when the camera was on, just seeing you put your head down when we told you it wasn't working. Kevin's boyish grin whenever we both realized it wasn't working. Yes, that was a lot of fun.
That was enjoyable.
Yes.
I guess.
You know, something else that has been enjoyable is the very slowly sinking ship that is known as Total Nonstop Action, or TNA, or even... in fact, Impact Wrestling. Well, the end could be nigh, gentlemen. Everyone seems to have predicted this ad nauseum. You know, I feel like this has had about the same hype as what was the 2000 bug that was supposed to, the Y2K bug?
Y2K, yes.
Yeah,
that was gonna strike. I feel like that got the sinking ship of TNA has been going on even longer than that, though.
It's been going on since before day one. Since they announced they were gonna originally announce they were gonna do weekly pay per views back in 2002, people have been saying this isn't gonna work, this isn't gonna last, and here we are, 14 and a half years later.
Well, it's been that long. I thought it was only about 10, but yeah, I guess that would be 14 years.
Yeah, it makes sense, because they made a big deal out of their 10-year anniversary, and I know that wasn't just last year.
Wow, that just felt like so long ago. I mean, when they were going into Slammiversary 2012, Hogan was still there, Blair was still there, Sting was still there, Kurt Angle was still there, you know, Bischoff, RVD, that just feels like a lifetime ago.
Well, it's funny, I was telling Kevin, I was watching, I think it was Hard Justice, and something else from, like, 2006, I believe it was, and how crazy the people in the crowd were going. It was in the Impact Zone. I mean, they were all over it. It was Johnny Devine and Eric Young, a much younger Eric Young. The crowd was eating them up. They were going crazy. It was a show where they had a fire, so the smoke started spreading inside the arena. But then they had later on, I was watching another clip with Sting, Christian, Jeff Jarrett, and it was like that King of the Mountain match where he had the penalty box.
Oh, or Jesus.
Whatever that match was called.
Yep.
The reverse ladder match.
Yeah, and people were going nuts during that. And you turn on Impact now, and no one cares. It's kind of sad.
It is sad. It is definitely sad of what it could have been if they've never brought Vince Russo back into the fold. If they never decided to bring Hulk Hogan in and give him and Bischoff basically control the whole company with Pat, well, having no stake in it at all. Whether it succeeded or failed, just, you know, pay them whatever. Just so many bad decisions over the years. And I mean, those early years, maybe that first year on Spike when Russo wasn't around, they were really doing some good stuff. They really, really were. And from there, you know, Russo, slowly Russo-fied. Then there was, the Hogan and Bischoff era, and then from there, that was pretty much the end. Is anything viable?
Well, I enjoyed, it took a while to get going, but the Aces and Eights thing, I thought that actually, like, looking at old videos, and I may be thinking too highly of it, but I thought that was kind of fun. Like, at the time, it was a little long-winded, but now, after seeing, like, what's going on now and what happened after,
yeah, boy. It's like looking back on WWE shows from, you know, 2005, 2006, 2007, and then comparing it to WWE now, it's, no, of course, it wasn't the glory days, but it's better than what we're getting now.
And especially with just how fast it seemed to collapse. And I know Panda Energy pulled out, and that was a big problem with funding. But is that where it all started going, like, as horribly wrong as it is now?
Yeah, that plus not having a TV deal in America that pays. You know, their arrangement with Pop TV is essentially in an old style barter agreement where they get the airtime and Pop TV gets the ad revenue, although they make like something like $350 per ad or something ridiculously, sadly low.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, so there is very little revenue coming into this company. I don't know who would buy it, really, but apparently if he can make something work, and he has to do it this week, I mean, for it to stay intact or be able to, you know, still be, essentially be an operating wrestling company, it will have to be Billy Corgan.
So, I mean, there's so much information now about what's actually going on with the company. Like, you know, Billy Corgan, it's like, I don't know how much to review of it, but they have a pay-per-view, and I was talking to Kevin about this earlier. They have a legit pay-per-view this weekend, Bound for Glory, which on their own television programming, if you watch it or not, they've done a pretty good job of hyping this thing up and making it seem like a legit event that you want to buy.
Well, and even though I had forgotten that they don't have the TNA or the roster on their website.
Yes.
They did have Bound for Glory everywhere. They had hype videos for it. You know, that was their main concentration, so they're certainly acting like it's going to occur.
Yeah, and that's actually what makes the situation even bleaker or just even more sad. I mean, they finally got some traction. They've got a horde or a monster of a champion. I say horse, that didn't really fit. They have a monster of a champion in Lashley. You've got the will he show up or won't he show up, Ethan Carter III. Regardless of what you think, it's all been pretty solid storytelling for that. Now, I don't like the championship or the rules, but you've got that grand champion match with Galloway and Aaron Rex.
Yeah, that one I'm not a big fan of. I'm not a big fan of, you know, introducing your new championship and then throwing two WWE jobbers, you know, in there and making a big deal out of them. Although I guess Galloway has been a star in TNA.
There you go.
I want to world champion. I mean, not so much Galloway. The Aaron Rex part. That one's just like,
yeah. But even then, it's like, okay, but Galloway's been in TNA long enough now. It's hard to tell how long he actually has been in compared to, like, the TV that was taped with him. But the point I'm getting at is, right, this is a legitimately smartly created, crafted, and promoted show. And you've got Decay 2.
It's the Great War. I believe it's going to be just an anything goes match in the arena. They haven't said anything about it being anything outside or a Hardy compound. I believe it's just going to be some kind of crazy brawl in the Impact Zone. But once again, that's been built up. That's been built up great. I mean, they've done, once again, anything involving Matt the Hardys has been you know, entertaining at the very least.
Yeah, and what I was telling Kevin earlier also was
he doesn't kill himself in a match like that, so you know, so it'll be what it'll be a spectacle.
Yeah, and what I was telling Kevin was it actually made me care about Decay a little bit, which I never thought would be possible. And now that's where I kind of run out of the other matches, but that's me because I, you know, but for 3-4 matches, it's solidly done, and this is the best they've done.
Well, I'll say the women's saga with Gail Kim and Maria has been well done. I mean, of course, they're playing it up that Maria is more of a valet than a wrestler, so once she's trapped in the ring, Gail Kim's going to kill her. But it's been that's been a solid storyline, and you know the whole alley, you know, TNA has actually been doing the abused sidekick angle right, as opposed to WWE with Charlotte and Dana Brooke on Raw.
Yeah, I don't understand why Charlotte and Dana Brooke are together after Dana Brooke slapped her. Doesn't make any sense, but
right.
So I can't. I was asking Kevin, can you think of another pay per view like the week of the show stands a chance of not actually happening, like a legit show, not like Sonny's Backyard Wrestling or something, you know, like
Sonny Skype Wrestling Federation.
I said Sonny, I was like, well, I didn't even mean her, but yeah. So I can't think of any other promotion that this has happened with, right?
Not that I can recall. Like, I feel like, and I'm trying to because WCW was just flat taken over by the WWE, and that whole angle played out on TV. And then ECW just kind of, I mean, they weren't hyping an event when they finished up, I don't think.
No. They went out with a total whimper. Absolutely. I mean, there have been shows that maybe were in danger because of weather concerns or security concerns, maybe. But no, nothing like this. Nothing about the companies running out of money.
Yeah, nothing where near bankrupt company, because I'm very curious. Like, today is Tuesday. They don't air till Thursday, right?
Yeah, and that was taped months ago, of course. So okay. I mean, that show's gonna air. Maybe it'll be the last show live show they ever do. Now,
yeah.
One thing is, I know in the article or little, you know, love letter to Dixie that Mike Johnson put out on PW Insider.
Oof, that was long.
Yeah, that you know he was saying that you know. Probably not knowing anything that, you know, they could fill time with best of shows. Like, I don't know and I'm sure you don't either, the exact lettering of his contract that they have with Pop TV and then their international distributors. They may not be able to do, I could have swore there was something, it was this or their Destination America contract that said that they were only allowed to do 2 taped best of shows a year. And everything else had to be first run. So if the Pop TV contract is similar, then they don't get these tapings done in the next, you know, 2 to 4 weeks, then they're probably in breach of that contract too. I have no clue what the India or the, you know, the British contracts state.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are just so many things that from the recent reports from both Meltzer and Mike Johnson that there are so many problems because, like, the production company wants some money. Corrigan is still kind of holding out for some money. I guess the talent is still looking
Eric
for
Bischoff
money.
Eric Bischoff and Jason Hervey have had a long-standing lawsuit that I don't know when that's scheduled to even go to court. Now there's vendors. The company that was shipping their merchandise. Dixie owes a lot of people a lot of money. And if, say, for example, WWE's in the game, they only want the video library and the trademarks to monetize that video library. They don't want anything else. And so, you know, I didn't know this, but apparently it is illegal. You cannot, as a business, you cannot sell off all of your assets and then claim back bankruptcy to get rid of your debts. So Dixie has to get this all out. She has to sell the company and make enough money to cover her creditors. Or file bankruptcy first. And let everyone else pick up the bones. Those are her actions.
Which I can't see happening. And it's as an aside, well, I guess to bring this in, like one of the suitors, and I say suitors in quotes, WWE has now re-entered the picture about purchasing, you know, the videotape library purchasing the company, really for the videotape library, but then also maybe a few contracts. And I was trying to figure out whose contracts. With no inside info at all, I know Ethan Carter's is up in January, I think the Hardys are coming up soon. I don't know about Lashley, but I would think the only people they'd be interested in were the Hardys.
Yeah.
I'm honestly trying to think of who else.
Yeah, I mean, everyone else, just wait till their TNA contract's up, and you want them, go for them. I mean, Lashley's deal would be complicated because of the Bellator issue.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of those guys, I don't... You know, it's too soon for them to come back to the WWE. Definitely for Aaron Rex. Drew Galloway has been away for a couple of years, so I don't know.
Maybe they'd want him back. I mean, Ethan Carter III has could come back as a more as a more filled out character and just a better prospect. I mean, I know there's issues with Maria and the women in the roster, particularly the Bellas. So, you know, that has kept her and Mike Bennett out of the company previously. Yeah. But at the same time, a lot of TNA talent is probably making more of their money on the independents, at least the ones who didn't sign that stupid exclusive deal that let TNA set their indie rate and their independent bookings went down to nothing, basically. Because they priced themselves out of the market.
Well, and I guess there always is. The WWE, there was some speculation that WWE wanted to sign Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards. I would imagine they still might use them for NXT or the Cruiserweight division, I would imagine.
Right. Obviously, they let them slip through their fingers, so they didn't want them that badly back then, but, you know, for the right price, they'd probably take him down.
Well, yeah, I think that the WWE has kind of committed more time to TV. So I think even in the short time that it's been, maybe a year and a half or so, since they signed with TNA, things have even changed for the WWE programming-wise that I think would make them slightly more valuable at this time.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who can go and who can help them fill TV time, including NXT TV time, would have some value. There are guys there, but I don't know if there's anyone there with any urgency except for the Hardys, because you want to take advantage of what they've got going as soon as possible.
I definitely agree with that. That an immediate impact kind of player, those two would probably be it. Although having to explain that story on WWE TV,
they'd have the footage. Just throw it on the network. Just throw it on YouTube on their YouTube channel. I mean, that's the thing. If WWE, for the Hardys, that would suck for them is, you know, they've got this new lease on life, and they have brilliantly leveraged this. TNA pays them. They've created these new characters, these new gimmicks, using TNA's TV time and TNA's production equipment. And then they sell all their merchandise on ProWrestlingTees.com. And then they go on high-dollar indie dates and take Rebby, Senior Benjamin, and Baby Max, and King Max with them. You know, they make big money at the autograph and foot a lap tables and sell their gimmicks and get paid good money to wrestle. The Hardys might have the best, you know, gig in wrestling other than, you know, the top guys in WWE ring.
Yeah, the thing with the Hardys also, that's like, those characters are theirs. Like, that reinvention, that the smarts to use TNA, or, well, we speculated on this, that they just did their own stuff. Because, I mean, who's supervising or overseeing TNA?
I believe, Jeremy Borash and they're using TNA's professional equipment to shoot a lot of this stuff. I mean, some stuff, maybe they're using their own phones and GoPros or whatever, but for the big stuff, like the Final Deletion and Deleter Decay, I mean, it's a TNA production. You know, and I think the other two people who get credit for it in any way are Borash and actually Billy Corgan. So, once again, but that's almost kind of the funny thing is the Hardys have created these videos that are, you know, they're out there on YouTube, they're viral, but they're TNA property. So if WWE buys TNA's video library, they're going to wipe that crap all off of YouTube. So the Hardys no longer have their viral videos anymore. Or at least their old ones, like create new ones.
I guess my biggest apprehension is I don't think, I especially after watching SmackDown tonight, that the writer interference would happen with these Hardy clips. I can't see them giving power over these things to anyone for WWE, because you know how quickly they're going to get tarnished. Just look at what we had to sit through tonight with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. Holy God, that thing went nowhere. And then it turned into some supernatural bullshit at the end that made even little sense. And it almost looked like it was a mistake that they started replaying some one of Bray Wyatt's promos.
Yeah, that whole thing was weird as hell. That was so weird in not a good way. Yeah,
and that doesn't give me any hope that WWE's creative minds, all 32 of them, could come up with anything, or that they would actually know what to do with the Hardy stuff. Then you got to figure out where the hell the Hardy gimmicks even fit. Vince McMahon ain't letting no baby go out to the ring.
Yeah,
so that's not going to happen. But and then also what you touched
think,
on...
What, you like, think the investors might frown on a baby being at ringside?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you're teasing baby kidnappings and babies being thrown off of ledges.
Yeah. I mean, so, yeah, just that ain't going to happen. They're not going to use some plain-looking senior citizen as a character, so you know they're going to hire somebody else, some like middle-aged, like, or not middle-aged, but some Latin smoothie Alberto Del Rio to play Senior Benjamin. I mean,
Chavo Guerrero Sr. needs work.
Yeah. What's Hector Guerrero doing? I mean, he's a little older, obviously, but no, so I can't see it, but then also, I don't know if you guys saw that video this weekend of Matt at... it was Matt, Rebby, Jeff was there somewhere. He wasn't in the video. And Senior Benjamin at the merch table. Matt had like three tables full of T-shirts.
Yeah, they've got some. They've got a great racket going. I mean,
yes. So why give up that power and immediate cash in your pocket to go through an intermediary with WWE who's going to take their cut, possibly not even have your merchandise at house shows?
Right.
It doesn't seem worth it.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff seems the more who desperately wants to end his career in WWE. Matt does not, and Matt's the one who's going to drag the entourage all over the country with him. I almost think they could put something together and try to sell themselves as a TV show to some network. I mean, go to MTV. It's like they're like Trailer Park Boys and a Scream series all rolled into one.
I'm going to take your word on it. I don't know. I've heard of Trailer Park Boys, and I've never seen the Scream series. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I have heard of neither and seen neither, so
I Park am Boys, hit. What I did see was actually kind of funny, but...
Yeah, I mean, just never got to watch. It's just thrown out there. I mean, I think there's more to life for Matt Hardy and his entourage and his family, you know, independently, totally.
Yeah.
If Jeff wants to go back to WWE, then, you know, with his past, his drug past, with his body, his back, you know, TNA doesn't give a shit, and, you know, independent promotions don't give a shit. Can Jeff Hardy's body pass a wellness exam?
I would hope at this stage of his life, especially with kids and all the stuff he's been through with
I don't mean the drugs part. I mean is his back, his knees, his shoulder, and everything else. Is that all intact enough?
Yeah. But I immediately go to the biggest red flag with Jeff, only based on his history. So, and I don't have any clamor to see the Hardy Boys back. I kind of like what they're doing. And, the local Fed here, they just lost Cedric Alexander. So, I'm hoping that Matt Hardy makes an appearance, because I will be going to that show. Which is the weirdest thing to think of, based on the history of me just bashing him for a year straight.
Right.
Until it just got sad.
Was it only a year?
They're amazing.
Yeah, I think it was all of that time, I believe, was only a year. Yeah. So
I did like going back through when I was trying to figure out the old Gargano stuff when I started posting that stuff on Stunt Cranny. And I saw some of those old Matt Hardy headlines, and I just started to laugh to myself.
Things were bad. Things were bleak there for a while. I mean, remember when police actually had to go to their house because he basically posted a suicide video online? Yes. They kicked the door down, and Jeff's wife and his baby were there, and it's not a good scene. I mean, for how far they've come back, I mean, good for them. I'm happy for them, reinventing themselves. So again, I want to see more of them independently. I want to see them come to my local indie. I want to see them up close and personal. I want to meet Senor Benjamin.
Yeah, I mean, but imagine, like, that's his. He's got his own little empire, if you want, with his staff. If you think about it, I know it's his wife. Well, it's his wife, kid, and father-in-law, or his staff. But still, it's incredible that I don't know what Rebbe Sky's dad did for a living before this. Sure, shit wasn't anything in wrestling. So now he's going to these places that everyone calls him Senior Benjamin, and he's making money selling Senior Benjamin t-shirts. I mean, that's insanity.
And I love to talk about the potential death of TNA once again. Went up to let us just going off about the Hardys. This is the only thing
violent
TNA.
Well, you got Lashley, but. And I was Shahid hit me up, and I asked him for some wrestlers on the roster. He gave me the same list we were talking about, and the Bellator thing I forgot about. So I don't know. I don't think.
I mean, well, he hasn't fought in a while.
If WWE wanted to buy his contract, I guess they would have to honor that, though.
Yeah, that's the whole thing with this whole TNA mess is. She can't just parcel this stuff out. She has to sell it all just to one person, to one entity, or file for bankruptcy. There's no other way to do this.
Yeah, and there's plenty of people. Now, Meltzer was stating that there was a unnamed party that wanted to be involved, and he said he's fairly certain they want nothing to do with it. I don't know who he was talking about. So...
People who were at the very beginning of doing due diligence. There's no fucking way you can make money with this.
They saw the TV outlet and were like, oh. I don't know, man. It's not good news. This does seem like this is the end, finally. Like, all these years, we were like, oh, TNA's going out of business. TNA's going out of business. You know, either gleefully, smugly, whatever.
Now
this one seems like it's here. And
yeah, I mean, this is it. This is now there's one element here. Something did come out this probably last like hour or so that Billy Corgan is scheduled for an interview tomorrow on it's Busted Open Radio Online at like tomorrow like 3 in the afternoon. So why would he be doing an interview unless he's got something to talk about?
Yeah, I think that's on Sirius XM too. I might have to actually.
Yeah, Sirius XM. I just forgot the name of it. Busted Open Online Radio.
Yeah, I know I've heard of it. I've never actually listened to it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of it. I never listened to it myself, but so much wrestling audio out there, I barely listen to anything I'm on. But yeah. So maybe he's gonna go for it. But best of luck to him if this is what he wants. He has said that he will change the name if he gets a chance. Now, will he just change it, the whole company, to Impact Wrestling, or will he think that even Impact Wrestling has that brand has been tarnished enough that he just need a complete repainting of everything? We'll see if he gets it. We'll see if the announcement's got to be made this week, and you almost don't even want to make it on Friday. Banks are, the end of the world, the end of the banking week is Friday at 5 p.m. You want to make the announcement early. So, if Universal Studios needs to be paid, if production people need to be paid, you probably want to pay them early in the week.
Well, the thing is, and that's what you said with that Mike Johnson thing, and why would he want to put any, speaking of Billy Corgan, why would he want to put any money into this if he can't get anything out of it? So I would hope there's something. And just for the, I don't know, it's funny, all those years of saying they're going to go out of business, they're going to screw up and go out of business, this and this. And now that it's here, it kind of sucks. And I mean, I gave up on them a while back, but the Hardys kind of dragged me back in. It's not an overly good show, but it at least provides a place for people to, get some limited exposure, get some videotape, which I know, you can do that anywhere, but they still have a better production value than, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I'd argue it's a better production than Ring of Honor.
I would agree with you. What little I did watch of TNA, because I pretty much only tuned back in for about 2 or 3 weeks there for the final deletion. And then I tap back out. Because when it moved to Thursdays, it stopped happening when I was recording this show. I stopped watching it.
Right.
Because, everything, and it does kind of crack me up, everyone talks about all these great things happening in TNA, along with the Hardy video, and I just kind of laugh, to be completely honest with you, because I think they're talking up some of the parts a little bit more than they need to be talked up.
What do you mean?
I don't know. The last time I saw EC3, I guess he's better, but it's not one of those things that I'm like, I really need to tune in to see what happens with him next week. He didn't drag me in that much. Lashley, even for as much as I feel like everyone I've recorded with has vouched for how much better he's been, he hasn't made me want to tune back in. There wasn't any other storyline going on that made me want to tune back in. At all. It was just as bad as it had been when I stopped watching it before they went to Pop. And then when I finally realized I had Pop TV, I continued to not watch TNA.
It's funny you say that, because I can't disagree with you, even though I said it got better. I think the individual performances got better. I'm gonna have to revisit what I said
it still just doesn't. Since they left on Spike, they feel like they've been on borrowed time. It feels like nothing that they do matters. when they lost AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, they lost the heart and soul of that company. They really did, and they haven't found anything to really replace them. Yeah, there's some, you know, the Hardy stuff is the Hardy stuff is of course almost on its own different planet, separate from everything else, and that, so if you take that out of the equation, no, it's not that good of a show. There's some things you enjoy about. Some things you can enjoy, some things aren't that good. You'll find better wrestling in other places. You'll find better storylines in other places. You'll find better interviews in other places. They're really suffering from, especially now, I think they are suffering from being at the end of the long wrestling week.
Oh, that, I hadn't even thought of that. Thinking it through? Yeah, because if you have a pay-per-view like we had, or whatever they're called now, we had Sunday, so you had a big arena show with big production. You got another big arena show, big production. Another big arena show, big production. Then you got Lucha Underground on Wednesday, which is totally different. And then if you watch as well, you have NXT, and all the Cruiserweight Classic is gone now, but that was taking up time as well. And then you get to Thursday, and there's a bunch of guys who are all pretty, guys and gals that are, for the most part, are pretty generic looking, with just, you know, in a clear studio audience with a non-engaged or disengaged crowd.
Yeah, I think that's
pretty much where I'm at on Thursdays.
And that's the other thing that's kind of funny about when everyone talks it up. It's just like, have you looked at the crowd that is watching this stuff with you? Like, they're the ones at the arena, and they could give a shit less.
Yeah. And it isn't that, like, wasn't the thing there that they give out, since it's on Universal Studios lot, it's part of a tour, and they give tickets out to park guests first, even if you have tickets for Impact, or something like that. So the people who actually want to be there are just basically supplanted by people who just got off whatever god-awful Jaws ride they have at that one. The one that's based off Jaws 2, by the way. That's a very small audience is going to understand that one. It's awful. But they get off that and go over to TNA, like, what are we doing here? And you just see
like
it in the crowd.
It's not like in the era when there were stars. It's not like you can say that Hulk Hogan is going to be on this show.
Yeah.
Or even Sting or Kurt Angle or anything like that. But, well, you got the Hardys, and that's it. And they don't even look like the Hardys anymore. So you might say, who even are these guys? If you have a cursory knowledge of wrestling, or you were an old fan, you're like, well, what the hell? What are they? You might think, and if you're in that studio, you're not seeing any of the backs. You're not seeing any of the short film.
Well, but in their defense, and not defense, as a positive note for that, they're also not hearing Josh Matthews on commentary.
That's true too.
So,
well, I still can't believe when they were on Destination America and they had Josh Matthews and Taz basically commentating from a broom closet, and they would show them, and it was just, oh. I guess I'm talking myself out of thinking that this company going away is sad, as long as the Hardys are still out there doing their crazy
stuff. Well, I just don't like it because it's less employment opportunities for the wrestlers and like any up and coming. I mean, I know there are indie feds all over the place. WWE's got the Performance Center, but it's still good to have something else. Ring of Honor, they've had an opportunity to grow as a company, to be bigger than they are, because they were around before TNA, and they're just as, if not more, obsolete than TNA is.
I agree. I mean, I have, in my local market, it was used to be on at 2 a.m., now it's 3 a.m. on a Saturday, and I've stopped urine a long time ago. It just wasn't worth my time for the one maybe one good match that's going to be on that show. It really just didn't do it for me anymore. It wasn't different enough.
Yeah, I mean, I've been the lone holdout in that department. Just because A, an hour goes quickly, and B, 9 times out of 10, I'm watching that while I'm recording this show.
Right.
Notice a common theme here, people.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like, well, but, a half-hearted watch is, you know?
Well, and that's kind of the funny thing, is that their stories aren't good enough still. Like, it's way better than when Jim Cornette was in charge. But, and they have at least, because I know that Chris and I chronicled this, but they just skipped so many weeks there at some juncture.
They went almost seemingly 2 months without an original episode that was, you know, from a regular TV taping. That was unforgivable to me. And from that, I know they've run some big Bullet Club angles. They've had some good matches that, you know, that I hear about or read about. I still can't put it back on the DVR. It's just, there's already so much wrestling out on. I'll watch Lucha. I pay $40 for the entire season pass of Lucha Underground, but I won't watch, you know, ROH for free.
Did you watch? Wait, total aside. Did you watch Lucha Underground last week?
Yes, I did.
Did you see Dario doing lines on his desk?
I did. Yeah, that's what he was doing.
Yes. That's why I think it was Taya who he was talking to in the office. And she goes, "You missed some," and pointed at his nose. Yeah, he was doing blow. And I was like, "What the hell is going on? When did he start sniff? I mean, huh? It came totally out of the blue, and it was so funny." But okay, so I just want to make sure someone else saw it, because I didn't see anybody else mention that. So, but
it's just reminded me of RoboCop. Any blow scene always reminds me of RoboCop for some reason.
Says when Clarence Boddicker walks in, "Bitches, leave." that movie was so over the top. He's just pouring cocaine everywhere and just sniffing it off their tits. And I'm like, dude, that's not how it works. But, I mean, I guess it does work that way. But you're wasting it that way. So
Yes.
Was it Tony Montana in Scarface, where he just puts his face in the big ass pile. Again, you're wasting it that way. But
it makes for a great scene.
Yeah, it was. But so I think did any of us mention the fact that whoever buys TNA is buying a company that is worth less than the debts they owe?
That has not been mentioned, but honestly, when you sent me the one article today, I was just like, that statement stood out to me far more than anything else.
The stuff about the debting, especially the overseas company that was shipping them their merchandise was never paid. I mean, they closed down their website shop like a long time, quite a while ago, it seems now. So that's a long-standing debt. This company's been in trouble for a long time now. And I believe the real number floated around was $4 million. I guess that's everything included, you know, to get Dixie out of all of her debt. Because I don't think the company's not worth $4 million. Hell, 70% of it. And it's not just the whole company, it's 70% of the company that she's asking for. She obviously needs to get out of this debt.
And that's another topic we haven't really talked about that much, and I guess that's why I don't feel bad. You've seen that Dixie Carter hasn't had the right path for quite a while at this point. And if you were the one that said, you know what, I'm going to sign a contract with her, fuck you.
Yeah.
You dug your own grave. Like, I mean, the writing's been on the wall for a long time. I mean, we've talked, I don't know how many times we've talked about James Storm just having to be kicking himself at this point. Like, I don't care what that downside guarantee was at NXT. It has to be better than what you're going through right now.
You know what? If you're, I don't know what his financial situation is. He's got a couple of kids. He's married, got a couple of kids.
But if he's not getting paid, what does it matter if he's getting more money in TNA?
Right. Now the now supposedly the talent has been paid recently. Yeah. You know, well, because of the money that's been floated from Aerolex, or as I like to call them, because of the association with Harry's brothers, the Nazis, and Billy Corgan. Don't sue us.
There is nothing for anybody to sue. If they want to sue for the $0 we have in the bank account, they can go right the fuck ahead.
I was just laughing at the lead balloon that was.
Go ahead, Nazis. Sue us.
So, well, yeah, you ran over what I was going to say, because it was Aerolux put money in. Well, didn't Aerolux pay? No, wait, are they the production company?
Yes,
yeah,
Aerolux correct.
Is the production company.
Okay.
Aerolux is a weird, like, marketing / production company. I mean, they're into all this, like, Eric Nelson social media stuff, but then they also do television production. Somehow, these two old biker dudes who at least at one point in their life, who had them laser offered not, had Nazi symbols tattooed on their bodies, now work there, who... Yeah, I don't exactly know exactly what Aerolex is, or how, or what kind of money they have, but, I mean, they at least had $600,000 to float one tape. We do know that.
And then you got Corgan. It was his money that paid for the other tapings, and then also for talent as well.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so...
Corgan might be in for up to $2 million already.
Okay, so you got all that, but then
somewhere in there,
I'm with Kevin. If you sign up for this company, whether you're a talent, like it's with all the stories about how talent either got paid late or still haven't gotten paid, and then you're also reading these things about how they're trying to secure money to pay the production people who were paid 2 to 4 months late. And then they had another taping, and they're waiting on that. It's your own damn fault. I'm not going to continually go to Pizza Hut and ask for a Whopper, and then go, I can't believe you guys don't have this stuff. It's the same damn thing. And in the case of James Storm, we all thought that was a bad idea. Now, they gave him some more money than WWE, but, well... I mean, he's pulled out of that back out of TNA anyways. Even though nothing's really come of it.
That's probably just an angle.
Yeah. Well.
Well, who knows now?
Yeah, because he lost to Lashley. He hasn't been seen since, or mentioned for that matter. And there was the word going around backstage that he was like, "I'm done here." So maybe he wised up, but now you're going to be in breach of contract. Which, if you don't get paid, then it's already in breach. So,
my understanding is that whole thing was a work shoot designed to fool the boys, because in 2016, that's what's important.
Well, then he's still stupid.
Yeah, I mean, he's still stupid.
It's a bad business decision.
I was kind of playing the devil's advocate play with, but yeah, I think you go for the right role in NXT.
Yeah.
Even if they only like you enough to offer you a coaching position, it's still better than this.
And that's when you can turn your coaching position down, and then if you want to take that risk, you go to TNA. Or you do the AJ Styles stuff, and I know this is easy for somebody like us to say, we can go to Japan and do this, they'll take you over there. We've heard the stories about how it gets rough, being away from your home country, being away from your family, that sort of stuff.
But I don't think James Storm is the type of guy who was thriving, at least in New Japan. I don't know where everyone else in Japan is going. From where I watch in New Japan, I don't think they have a place for a guy like James Storm right now.
Hey, you never know. They need the talent. I mean, well, they needed it with AJ and all them leaving, but it's turning down, and I don't know. It's hard to tell. Like now, it's hard to tell because was AJ in the company before when he was doing his stuff?
When he
I don't think he was doing
his stuff. What?
No, he had one NXT match.
No, AJ never did. AJ never did.
No. I mean, was James Storm in NXT when AJ Styles was already on the roster in WWE?
I don't think so.
I think that was late last year.
Okay.
Fall 2015, then he went back.
Alright, because I was trying
If I remember correctly, they re-debuted him on as a surprise on the first episode on Pop back in January. If I'm vaguely remembering.
Alright, well that makes sense. So, he didn't have the context of AJ's success. And then you get Austin Aries shows up, Bobby Roode shows up, which has got to be a real killer because he goes back, forms Beer Money. A couple weeks later, Bobby Roode's like, I'm out of this half-assed Hackney joint. And there's James standing around like, well, who are the rest of these guys? Because I don't remember any of these people for the most part. I mean, Kurt Angle left, I think, when James Storm came back.
Yeah, he finished out. He went on like a retirement tour right at the beginning of their Pop TV run, which was one of those weird things where, okay, you're devoting all this TV time on your new network to a guy who's going to be gone in 5 weeks. I mean, I understand that he's a legend. You want to maybe say goodbye to him, but maybe it'll pop up a rating, but yeah, that was a little silly to me.
Yeah. Well, but it's like all this, so, yeah, when it comes to somebody getting into business with TNA, which is probably bad for potential suitors, but if they're buying them, because I don't think there's an investor out there that's going to throw any sort of cash at this without having an ownership, a majority ownership stake of this thing.
I mean, and Billy Corgan wants it all. He wants, obviously Dixie wants to leave. He wants Aerolux out of the way. I don't know what he's going to do for a production team if Aerolux is out of the picture, but I guess he'll figure that out when I guess he'll cross that bridge when he gets there, or he'll just start paying them for their services a la carte. Which I don't think they're a company that's going to say that they're going to be too upset about not getting the company or too busy to be able to do that for them. So yeah, I mean it really is all on Billy Corgan to buy everything, to bail Dixie out of her debts. Yeah, the fate of the wrestling alternative is in the hands of the lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, I'm just making sure we didn't miss anything in regards to that.
I don't think so. I think we did a pretty decent job of covering that.
Yeah, I mean, they got 7 days of TNA tapings coming up. 7 days. That's a lot. Monday through Saturday. Good grief. Alright.
Yeah, and no wonder some of them are sitting on their hands by the end of the tapings.
They do like 2 shows per taping, I believe. Yeah, that's not
damn,
too rough,
really?
Although you are going to see some guys.
Because
of the...
No.
Yeah.
No.
There it is. Somewhere the internet gods have deemed Chris's opinions are now used.
Am I obsolete now?
No, you are looking fine now. You have not been deleted quite yet.
It's kind of unbelievable.
if we ever have a video podcast, it'd just be worth it for the fist pumps we were giving when this started happening. So we're a very non-sympathetic bunch, so.
Well, yeah, I certainly started that because, yeah, I mean, well, and I guess this is one aspect we haven't talked about is just Dixie Carter's kind of unwillingness to give up power in the whole situation.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, you talked about the love letter that Mike Johnson wrote. Like, I mean, he almost disregarded, like, all of these bad decisions that she's made.
Yeah, like, all this has fallen on to her. Like, she's not responsible. Like,
yeah,
when the sky was falling down, she didn't go on a, $20,000-$30,000 trip to, maybe even more, to Africa with her family.
Yes.
While Rome was burning. Fuck her.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, like, and I understand that personal cash is separate from work cash.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, if you're really worried about your product and you're really invested in it, you're not taking that trip.
No, not at all. No. I mean, everything is her fault. In the end of, you know, has always been, you know, a grown woman in her 40s to 50s through this whole ride. You know, yes, Hogan and Bischoff are bullshitters and manipulators. Yes, so is Vince Russo. Yes, I guess so was Bruce Pritchard or anyone else they put in charge, Jeff Jarrett and all these other people. It was her company. It was her money. It was her family's money. The buck stopped with her.
Yeah.
It's, when you're the majority owner of something, yes, that's almost an indisputable fact. And she surrounded herself with always the wrong people.
The carniest carnies who ever carnied.
Now, she brought in Jim Cornette as well, right?
Yeah, she read. Yeah, you know what?
Okay.
And now, Cornette never really had all that much power. And he was, that's the one thing I will say that I guess I sympathize with him in some way. He was lied to. He specifically asked Jeff Jarrett, is Vince Russo involved in this company? Will he be involved in this company in the future? And they fucking lied. Well, I'm cursing up a storm now.
He is really defending Jim Cornette.
I would never do that, but in this case, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Cornette was absolutely blindsided when Russo walked in the door, I believe. I don't remember I take that back. I think Jarrett did call him to tell him and give him the option. I can let you go for your contract, or we can make this.
I know this is like a much discussed, debated topic, but what is the appeal of Vince Russo? Like, you know, he's gone through all these different, well, you know, he was in WWE, obviously, then he went to WCW, got sent home, came back, then went to TNA, got sent home, came back, worked as a consultant, worked on the sly, and now he's like a sought after, he's on Podcast One's network now. Why is anybody listening to this guy? I don't understand the appeal, I think the guy's a dick or anything. But after a while, your track record is basically the proof. He's had a long enough track record to show he doesn't get results.
Yeah, he got results under the guidance of Vince McMahon with a bunch of wrestlers that are Hall of Famers that happened to be there all at the same time.
Yeah. The Attitude Era was the perfect storm of success for a company. And yes, and Vince Russo was a part of that. And you know what? When WCW hired him the first time, it was a worthwhile investment. It was a worthwhile endeavor. When he failed the first time and they brought him back the second time to Bischoff, well, that was destined.
Yeah.
And then there's TNA. And then there was that weird period where he was kind of consulting with WWE. I think he got WWE to buy him out of his AOL Time Warner contract. And then
didn't that last like 2 days?
Yeah, 2 days, because the story was he purposely just came up with the worst storyline ever just to get them to say, all right, Vince, I don't think this is going to work out, so he could go join Jeff Jarrett and TNA. Vince Russo is the man, who doomed them from day one with that acronym.
That's true. I forgot about that. That's right.
I mean, and then, I think for a little while, because I was watching those weekly pay-per-views on the black box, him and Jerry Jarrett, their dichotomy of their opinions on wrestling. Now, I think it was actually working for a little while, the two of them together, one guy doing off the wall stuff and the other guy the more traditional wrestling booking mind. But that also wasn't meant to be either. And he went away for a while. And they brought him back. And then he started doing stupid stuff and just gave him carte blanche to turn to Impact into just the most Mystery Science Theater, level, just whatever he wanted it to be. He wasn't mindful of TNA was had a pretty good track record before he came along of having great pay-per-views because it was simple. Wrestler A, wrestler B, their styles mix, they're going to have a match. Russo didn't give a damn about that. All he wanted to do was create wacky characters, throw them out there, and just have bad matches. And, Vince Russo really did tank TNA. Or, at the very least, he's the reason they were never going to be a solid number two.
Well, he's the reason they're not on Spike as well. Right, well, he's the cause.
I guess that's later in the timeline. So I was just going to go through, after they had years of just a flat, no growth. That's when, but maybe they weren't losing. They weren't with Russo. They weren't growing, but they weren't making money either. Or a ton of money. Maybe they had a few years where they had a small profit, but that's when they made the Hogan and Bischoff gamble, and that's where things really, really started going downhill. That's where they started losing tens of millions of dollars. So, in many ways, yes, Vince Russo is very responsible.
Yes, but then also, he's still sought after to this day.
They lost. Yeah,
Understand how and why.
They were not growing on Spike TV, but if they considered Dixie Carter a partner that they could trust to be in business with, they'd probably still be there today, just as 2 hours of television on a Thursday night or whatever night of the week they threw them on. But you can't be in a business with somebody who outright lies to you.
Yeah, well. Well, yeah, yeah.
And, and at least to answer your question a little bit, Jeremy.
When your television partner tells you this guy is an idiot, we don't want him anywhere near a show on our network, you don't bring him back. You don't try to sneak him in. You just leave him out.
Yeah.
Spike TV was $20 million.
And again, it was a terrible decision by the one, the only, the incomparable queen of the ship, Dixie Carter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's people just took advantage of her. Her ineptitude, her lack of business acumen. Sorry, that's all this is. And a lot of people made money while she just lost money hand over fist.
Yeah.
Which is even worse. And again, goes back to the sale. Who, they're not going to be dealing with her, obviously. But The smartest thing that comes out of this is if Billy Corgan does buy it, the name's going to change. It's such a damaged company anyways. Company name, whatever else.
Now, Jeremy, Kevin, do you change the Impact name as well?
Is that it's all gone. Well? Every single bit of it's gone.
Yeah.
I know it's going to prove to be expensive, but get the hell out of Orlando.
Well, or even if they just... I would think that they could go to another single location, but just relocate.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know what the cost would be. I know Corgan's, you know, a Chicago guy. Find a theater in Chicago, either a nice place or something grittier, maybe something even comparable to the Lucha Underground Temple. Just do something different.
That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, tape TV every two or 3 months. Yeah, I mean, continue with the marathon tapings. Don't be flying people in all over the country and every week, every other week. At least in the beginning.
Yeah, and then also...
Because for TNA, spoilers getting out does not
matter at all. Well, no, Lucha Underground taped season 4 already.
Right.
I mean, well, they didn't put what order they did it in, but they taped matches and put it together. So
No, three.
No, they got 4s already recorded. We're on 3 now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, they did 2 and 3 back to back, right?
Yeah, they did 2 and 3 back. Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing's going to be he's got a roster full of suck right now. Now maybe there's talent in there. They haven't used it correctly. But then go out and grab grab people that people want to see. And, I mean, create something like Lucha Underground has. Now, mind you, I know they are not successful financially. But that crowd is jacked for everything they do. Because they've got wrestlers people want to see. I know it's going to be expensive, but if you just bought a company with debt, well, you already spent a bunch. So, right. To build it, what you got to spend it to make it. So, you know, it's. I guess that's before I'm starting to slow down. So before I get out of here, my big question is: does it? All right, say Billy Corgan somehow comes through and buys this company, because I think it's either him or WWE buys the video library at this point, or tape library, whatever. That's got to be it, right?
I would think at this hour, if no one else has been interested in a company that has basically been on the block since they moved to Pop TV,
right?
Yeah,
that no new suitors angle, are going to come in.
Yeah.
But the tie up with the WWE angle is they only want the videotape library or whatever, and whatever trademarks. They're not going to pay Dixie enough to get out of her debt. So, I mean, I guess you could sell partial assets and then maybe still file back. I don't know exactly how Dixie gets out from under her debt, because WWE doesn't give a crap about her debt.
Nor should they,
of course. I mean, Billy shouldn't give a crap about their debt, but it gets them the company.
Yeah.
What I was thinking is, when it comes to Billy Corgan, though, alright, I mean, it's like, we've all got a passion for wrestling, and if we had the money, we could buy TNA, right? What contacts do we have?
None.
What do we know about actually producing? Well, I mean, I guess his stage shows, but I think a stage show for the Smashing Pumpkins is light years away from a stage, production, rings, crew, lighting, backstage. That's just the physical part. You know, that's the creative aspect. And then what contacts does he have out in the world to sell this to other markets, to create business, create business relationships, to actually have it grow? Because that was part of Dixie's problem. Outside of all the other problems, that was another one. And, you know, Pop TV, I mean, we've said it plenty of times, it's not good. So, does Billy Corgan have that in him? Does he have that support group? Does he have that base to where he could even make this successful.
I guess my understanding is he's going to keep, I don't know exactly all that he's thinking, but or who he knows or whatever, but I'm pretty sure that, Jeremy Borash would survive the transition. I mean,
I'm pretty sure that Jeremy Borash would survive the nuclear holocaust.
Right. Jeremy Borash is a survivor, of course, yes. Apparently he likes that John Big Borak guy, the guy from Tough Enough who looks like Big Van Vader. Apparently Corgan likes him, even though he's been a complete disaster since he moved from being Kevin Dunn's coffee boy to essentially running TNA. So he's going to possibly keep a lot of the same team. Maybe there's people he knows he can bring in. I mean, he's been a wrestling fan for a long time. He's been, a backstage visitor. He's got friends in the wrestling business. He really does. He's been a long time, fan friend of wrestling. So I think he probably does have a good amount of contacts.
But does he have enough to make it successful?
Well, already failed once, right? I mean, he folded his own company in Chicago.
But didn't he fold it because he was going to TNA, though?
No.
See, I know that there are definitely people who are basically make a mockery of Billy Corgan's attempt to run a Randy Russell. It wasn't considered good at all. I mean, Billy is a guy who had... He's gonna be a guy who creatively overthinks wrestling. It's gonna be a lot of Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton style stuff that could potentially get on the TV when he has full control. Granted, he has full control now, and I guess there's something that stupid. Unless you count the Hardys, which works.
Yeah.
Because everyone's completely committed to their characters. And it's so off the wall.
Yeah, and
I just wonder though. I'd be curious to see what the sell price is, because if your debts are more than it's worth, or asking, or with asking or worth is $4 million, what the debt is? Is it $5 million?
That's the thing.
Something like that.
If Dixie's price is $4 million, that might be with the debt rolled in. I'm not sure. Because Dixie has to pay her for what the company is quote unquote worth, and then pick up the debt. That's no one's going to do that.
Yeah,
debt is the whole. That's the hold up to this whole process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's I want to believe that this can be saved, that this can actually become something fruitful, but I have no faith, and it's just too bad. And I mean, hey, if Corgan buys it and it works out, hey, more power to him. I hope it works. I really do.
Yeah.
It's not going to, though. As much as everyone wants to stay positive about these sort of things, especially the wrestlers who,
And I can't wait until some of those people on the internet are saying, TNA, it's still real to me. It's better than the WWE.
Yeah, I don't understand that argument just from a production value. So, storylines, I don't know. But, on that note, fellas, I'm bailing because I am tired.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know what else you guys got to talk about.
No, nothing. I think
we're good right now.
Okay.
We are not way over budget, but we are over the hour, a good chunk over the hour mark.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Okay.
So, I don't know. I didn't feel any reason to stop it. So,
WWE programming was so good this week that we should have talked about it, but it wasn't, so we don't need to. So that's fine.
Yeah, I had something in mind that I wanted to talk about WWE, but it'll be the same after the next pay-per-view. What's that, Kevin?
It can be saved. Like, it's one of those topics it got my wheels turning, too, because I had forgotten about some jokes that I had made a while ago that applies. So, you know, we can get to that topic another week. Like, it's not one where it did have to do with the programming specifically this week, because right. it's more of a long-term thing.
It's kind of been...
I don't know if developing's the right word, but it has certainly changed over the somewhat recent past for the WWE.
Yep.
Last night, drinking Platform Beer Paranormal Hoptivity for yours truly. So that was down the hatch and is the bell time beer of this episode and last episode, honestly.
Oh, is it bell time beer or ring time beer?
Bell.
God damn it. All right. I'm putting the wrong one in.
So I'm out of beer from Cleveland. I will go back to drinking my own beer here soon. And, at DeFrango 11, that was just at Granny Mae's. On the other end is at Chris Calamita. Everybody, have a good night.